Okay, Beruchim Abayim, welcome everyone. We are continuing our study of Simcha. We're in class 104. We are studying in the Amidah the word Hagibor. We've been learning about Gibor as it applies to Mesirut Nefesh, which means when a person goes beyond what's normal or beyond what his nature is. And today we're going to learn about a different type of gevura, a different area in our lives where we go above our nature. In the great Sefer Orchot Tzadikim, he writes, Ha'atzlut, he says, laziness, Hi mida ra'a me'od. He calls it a very bad characteristic. He says, Mi shezot hamida goveret bo. Someone who has difficulty with this mida, it's very powerful over him. Anyanav mekulkalim me'od. He says he's going to have a lot of bad happenings in his life. Ba'olam hazeh uba'olam haba. In this world, meaning in the physical world and in the spiritual world. The Rambam, in a letter that he wrote to his son, Rabbi Avraham, he writes, Ma'asu habatala. He says to his son, you should despise idleness. Ve'ga'alu hashalva. And you should be disgusted with a life of ease. He says, Kihem hasiba lehashhata taguf. He says, idleness and laziness is the cause for destruction of the body, that means physical, ul mahsor, where a person will always be lacking, ul she'mum, will bring a person to boredom, and all of its effects, ul fitfut, and constant chatter that is damaging to the relationships of the person, ul akshut pe, and to stubbornness, velazut sefataim, and to crookedness, vesulam lasatan ul avdav. He says laziness is like a ladder to the Satan, to the Yetzer Hara, and to those who assist him. Basically, he's saying that laziness is a ladder to disaster in all areas of life. Vehihi ha'atzla ha'menuvala. He calls it the ugly midah of atzlut, of laziness. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei says, Gam mitrape bimlachto. He says also the man or the person who is lazy in his work. Mitrape means he does it very weak. He works, but not with his full energy. Ah, who? He says he is the brother, le ba'al mashhit, to the person of destruction. What Shlomo HaMelech means is that if you would see two people, one of them is taking an axe and going around the house and destroying every part of the home, you would look at that person and say, that is a destructive person. If you would walk into a house and see a person who's always sleeping till the mid-afternoon, very, very lazy to get around, you might see something that's not so nice. You would say, "Hi, sleeping all day, lazy, not giving things their all." You probably wouldn't be impressed by that. But Shlomo HaMelech says it's worse than you think. He says, you see the first guy that was going around with the hammer and destroyed his whole house? You understand how you looked at that guy? He says, the guy sleeping is his brother, which means he is the same. Don't think there's any less destruction by the person who's lazy than the person who's destroying things in their life. That means laziness is as destructive as the most destructive act that we see in any area of life, whether it's in religion, whether it's in school, whether it's in friendships, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in raising children, in any area of life, the same way we would say, I can't believe what that person is doing, they just destroyed their marriage with those words or with that act. They just destroyed their partnership. They just destroyed, you would say that if you would see them doing something destructive. Says Shlomo HaMelech, if a person is lazy in whatever area there is in life, he is equally as destructive. He's a brother. The Mesilat Yesharim warns us that this midah, unlike other midot, may not be so easy to locate. Which means if a person is angry, it's not so hard to realize for himself. But when it comes to laziness, the Mesilat Yesharim says that a person can go for his entire life being lazy and not even realize it. He says, Ha'atzlut hi ke'eres an-nahash. It's like a person who, God forbid, gets poisoned. A person who gets poisoned doesn't necessarily feel the poison, nothing happened to him. It's not like, God forbid, someone punched them. It's not like they fell somewhere. They don't even feel pain. But before you know it, the poison takes effect and the person is either very sick or is gone. Says the Chovot HaLevavot, the Mesilat Yesharim, that laziness is like this poison, HaHolech U'mitpashet Me'at Me'at. Unlike regular poison that kills within a short time, he says laziness is like a poison that spreads very slowly, ve'en pe'ulato nikeret, and you will not see the full damage and effect of laziness, ad hamita, which means you could live your whole life till death and you won't realize how much damage has been caused by this virus that was spreading in the person and he didn't even realize. That means a person could be very lazy and not even realize that they're very lazy. And a person should not think that laziness is only practiced by simple people, people who are ignorant. Laziness is something that applies to all people. Even great, from the greatest people. We see this in the Torah clearly, a story that we've mentioned here a number of times, the story of the Nesi'im, of the leaders of Am Yisrael. We know that when the Torah mentions their gift to the Mishkan, their gifts, when it writes the name Veha Nesi'im, supposed to have two yuds inside their name, and both yuds are missing. It's a word that we read it, Veha Nesi'im, but it's the way it's written in the Torah, it's Veha Nis'am. Some blemish in the word, Ha Nesi'im. It's like someone writing your name and skipping two letters. You probably don't like your name written like that. Something wrong with that. The Torah wrote their name with a blemish for the rest of history. What did they do wrong? So if you look in Rashi, he brings what Hazal tell us. He says, the Nesi'im, when they came to them for a donation, so they said to them, when everybody finishes giving, we will give the rest. So says Rashi, Ulfi, and because Shenit Atzelu Mitehila, because they were lazy, I'm sure if you asked them, they would not say that they were acting out of laziness. They probably would have said that we're acting with our minds. We're giving everybody a chance to give, and we will give the rest, whatever is lacking. I don't think that they would have said, this is the lazy part of me. They would have said, this is the strategic part of me. But the Torah says, no, that was lazy. Nit'atzelu mitehila. They were lazy to give something in the beginning. Nehsera ot mishemam. So letters were missing from their name. When the Torah takes a letter out of someone's name, it means that they have a blemish that has to be pointed out. So the Torah came here to teach us that even great people, people way greater than me and you, people accomplished, people who were leaders of the Jewish people, these were not people that woke up in the middle of the afternoon. These were not people that slept for 8 or 9 hours. Not that 8 hours is so bad, but they didn't sleep for 8 or 9 hours. They didn't do that. These were people that were hardworking leaders of the Jewish people. But yet, they were guilty of laziness. I only bring this because when we discuss this subject, I know and I feel for myself that I tune out, I check out. Because I don't look at myself as a lazy person. I know lazy people, but I'm not lazy. So when I hear we're going to learn today about laziness, so I automatically think, okay, this class is for other people. Let me see. Let me learn what I have to tell them. But it doesn't apply to me. There is such a fear of giving a class on laziness. Because probably if you're listening to this class or you came to this class, you're probably not lazy. Because if you were lazy, you wouldn't come. So that's the first proof that you're not lazy. So why are we talking to you? The people who are not listening, they're lazy, but they don't listen. There was one principal who saw one of the students. He always came late. Everywhere he's late. So he asked him, why do you always come late? He said, Rabbi, I tell you the truth, I have a problem. He said, I'm lazy. So he told him, okay, so why don't you work on your laziness? He told him, because I'm too lazy to work on my laziness. Okay, you get it? Okay, so it's a real problem. One of the issues of laziness is that you don't even realize that it's really existing inside of you and affecting decisions, and you would never know it. So that's why I bring the Nesi'im. I bring the Nesi'im not to bring them down, but to make us realize that we might have things that also are lacking because of laziness, and we're not even realizing it. Says the Mesilat Yesharim on this point. He says, Hine anahnu ro'im be'enenu. The Mesilat Yesharim writes that he sees with his own eyes. Kama ve'kama pe'amim. He says many times. Shekevar libo shel adam yodeya chovato. That a person knows their obligation. He's talking about their obligation to Hashem. But any obligation. A person very often knows what they need to do, whether it's for their creator, whether it's for their marriage, whether it's for their children, whether it's for their whatever. He says, we see many, many times that a person knows exactly what he needs to do. Ve'nit'amet etzlo. Not only he knows, but he has it clear. Masha'ra'uy lo la'asot. What they need to do. Le'hatzalat nafsho. To save their soul. Before their soul goes, gone, goodbye. They know what they need to do. Ve'af al piken, and even though they know, yanihehu, never makes a change. How many times has it happened to you? How many times have you seen this? Where you went to a class, you learned something, you were convinced, you saw somebody else convinced, you had a child that was convinced, you had a brother that was convinced. And you spoke about it over the Shabbat table. It was an hour or two discussion. It was back and forth. It was clear. It was beautiful. But it's shocking to see the after effects of that class really didn't make that much of a difference. Nothing happened. The same person. We spoke about waking up early and we spoke about he's still waking up the same time. Maybe even got worse. So many things, so many areas in life that a person may know but never follows through. He says, "Lo mechisaron hakarat ha'chovahi." He's not letting it go because he's not aware of his obligation. Ve'lo l'shum tam aher, and for no reason at all, ella except mipene shekavdut ha'atzla mitgaberet alav, because the heaviness of laziness has overpowered the person. That's the only reason. That's the only reason he says why people who have clarity about what they need to do in their life and they don't do it. Pure laziness. So the next time you learn something or you see someone learn something and you see they understood, you see they were convinced and they don't follow through, says the Mesilat Yesharim, let me tell you why. Because you're lazy. You might give other reasons. You might think it's something else. So we're talking to intelligent people here. We're talking to people who were inspired. We're talking to people who learned. We're talking to someone who's convinced. And yet, they're not moving forward in what they need to do. Why? Because they're lazy. That's a confirmation from the Mesilat Yesharim. Again, me and you may not see it that way. We may translate it a little differently. I'm not lazy, but I'm not ready. I'm not lazy, but it's not the time. I'm not lazy, but whatever it is, there are many different explanations. But says the Mesilat Yesharim, let me tell you what's the underlying explanation, is that it's called laziness. That's the only reason why someone would know what they need to do or what not to do, and they still do it. He says, Hu Omer, for example, he gives one example of how laziness can affect a person's action and their growth in any area in life. Here's a fellow who learned something, he understood. Veharehu Omer, says the Mesilat Yesharim, the guy says, Ochal kim'ah, let me eat a little bit. Right now, let me go for dinner. He just went to an inspiring class. You know what? Right now, dinner. After dinner, Ishan kim'ah, I'm tired. Let me sleep a little. So he eats a little. He sleeps a little. Morning he gets up. It's very cold. It's raining. He says, you know what? Kashe alai latzet mi beti. He says, today is hard to go out. I'm going to start for sure. Just not the right day. It's not the right day. It's not the right day to start my new me. Pashati et kutonti. He says, I already took off my pajamas. I took off my clothes. I'm wearing pajamas. Now I'm going to get dressed. Now I'm going to go out. Hamma azab ba'olam. It's too hot today. Hottest day of the year. Just the day I'm going to start changing my life. Hottest day of the year. Hakara rabah. It's too cold. Too rainy. On and on and on. U ben kach. He says, while this happens, it could be anything, obviously. He says, the guy goes and ignores what he needs to do. So the Mislai Sharim is basically telling us that this midah of laziness is not for uninformed people. It's not for uninspired people. It's not for small people. It's not for little people. It's not for teenagers. It's for every person and even great people. From the greatest people who have clarity. How many people here could say they have clarity? Clarity, clear. They know what they need to do. And even then comes atzlut and makes its mark on our lives. Let me share with you a Mishnah, Perkei Avot, a famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayom Katzar, the day is short, Ve'amelacha Meruba, and the work is plenty, there's a lot of work here. Basically, it means that life is short and there's a lot to do. Each person has a lot to accomplish, there's so much to do. And we don't have a lot of time. I mentioned the other day in a class that if you lived 100 years and you slept like a normal person, not lazy sleep, normal, so you would sleep 33 years of your life. Wow. 33 out of 100 years went for sleeping. We didn't even start talking about other things. We didn't talk about working. We didn't start talking about shopping. We didn't talk about anything else. 33 years gone. So you're already left with 66. That's if you lived 100. And by the way, that's if you started living at 1. Today, people don't start living normal life. Used to be 13 was bar mitzvah and 12 was bat mitzvah. Today, it should be double that age. We should send 26-year-olds to the Torah to read for the first time. Girls 12 years old are still finding themselves. They don't even know where they are yet. Years back, 12-year-olds were looking to get married already. It's a different kind of world. The maturity level has definitely shrunk. So that means you only started living when you're 20. So if you hit 100, you hit 80. And you don't have a lot of time in this world. We don't have like a time that just doesn't stop. There's a limit. That's what it means. Hayom katzar, the time is short. Hamelacha meruba, and the work is a lot. We have a lot to do. It means we have a lot to accomplish. Hapo'alim atzelim. But says Rabbi Tarfon, the workers are lazy. That's us. Why does he call us lazy? You know, Rabbi Tarfon should have been maybe a little more, you know, respectful of the listener. Not is every guy reading Perkei Avot lazy? Could it be that some people who open Perkei Avot are not lazy? He should say, some people are lazy. Most people are lazy. Why does he say it like it's Hapo'alim? That's us, the people living, the employees. Atzelim, they're lazy. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's something very deep about these words of Rabbi Tarfon. Why he makes this statement that covers all people. He says, Kiteva ha'adam, listen to these words of Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, the nature of a person who lehit atzel, The nature of a person is to be lazy. Ve'en adam nitzal mimena. What a statement. Meaning, there is nobody that isn't lazy. No, not, he's not saying there isn't someone who wasn't lazy. He's saying there isn't anyone who can possibly say, I don't have this midah of laziness. You could say, I don't have anger. You could say, I don't have jealousy. You could say, I don't have, I had, I don't have anymore. You could say, a lot of midot, I used to be selfish, I'm no longer selfish, I'm selfless. You could say that. It'll take work, but you could say it. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, you can never, ever say, I am not lazy. I don't have laziness in me. En adam nitzol mimena. There is no such thing as you got rid of your laziness. Eli says, yesh marbe. There are people who are very lazy. Ve'yesh mema'et. And some people that are a little bit lazy. But no lazy? Not possible. That's why Rabbi Tarfon says, ha-po'alim atzelim. How come it's like that? Why is it that all other midot, we can get rid of anything that we have, but not laziness? The answer is because laziness comes from our physical side. You have to remember the pasuk in the Torah that tells us about our creation, how Hashem formed us. The pasuk says, "Vayitzer Adonai Elohim et ha'adam." Hashem formed a human, Adam Arishon, and all those after him, afar min ha'adama, which means that our body was formed from dirt. We are a piece of dirt. I'm sorry. Yes. I didn't mean it like that. But it's true. We're a piece of dirt. Torah says that. Now, in case you think that's just some, you know, a historical fact of what material Hashem used to make our great bodies. I mean, yeah, we used to be dirt. We're not dirt anymore. So the Torah says very clearly, Ki afar ata, you are dirt. Don't just think, I made you from dirt. You're dirt now. Ve'el afar tashuv, and you'll go back to the dirt. So that means you're dirt before you started, you're dirt while you're here, and you're dirt afterwards. There you go. There's inspiration for you. Now, why do I have to know that? Like, why do I have to walk around thinking I'm a piece of dirt? Why does that make a difference? Why does Hashem have to really stress that fact? The answer is because dirt is heavy. Dirt doesn't jump. Dirt doesn't move. When you look at dirt, it could stay in its spot for 1,000 years and never move. Unless someone moves it or wind comes. Dirt is kaved. It's heavy and doesn't move. And what the Torah is telling us is that our essence, our physical essence, is dirt. We can't escape that. You can't become not dirt. That's who you are. That's who I am. As long as we're physically in this world, as long as we have a physical connection between neshama and the guf, and as long as we have this partnership in this world, there is no way around being dirt. And if you're dirt, then you're kaved, you're heavy, which means you don't want to move. It's our essence. Our other midot like I said before, you can somehow relieve yourself of other midot, but you can't relieve yourself of your physical body. And therefore, hapo'alim atzelim, every person has in them a desire for laziness. Some more, some less. But there's no way to escape it because it's who you are. It's the body. It's the dirt in us that makes us heavy and not liking to move and not liking to run and not liking to think. It's the nature of a human being that can't be changed as long as he's in this world. So if you ask, what's the solution? By the way, just a hint to this, perhaps, when the Torah warns us about not being lazy and being zealous, so Hazal tell us it comes from a peculiar source, something to do with Pesach that's coming up. The Pasuk says, Ushmartem et hamatzot. Meaning when you make matzah, you have to watch to make sure that it doesn't become hametz. Any delay with water and flour and wheat, it's going to turn into hametz. So be careful. Ushmartem, watch it. But Hazal come and say, Al tikre matzot. There's another way to read the word matzot. Ela mitzvot. So what does it mean? Ushmartem et ha-mitzvot. You should be careful to watch your mitzvot. Mitzvah haba'a leyadcha. You have a mitzvah that comes. You have something good to do. Al tahmitzena, which means don't delay it. But they use the word hametz. Al tahmitzena. Why is it that the right source? Why did they use, why did Hazal and the Torah use matzot and hametz to tell us about laziness? What's the depth in that limud? Why they chose that one? So the simple explanation is because to become hametz, you don't have to do anything. The nature is that when you leave water with flour, it's going to become hametz. You don't have to do anything. That's why they use the word al tahmitzena. I mean, it's your nature. Nobody would blame anyone if they're lazy in the sense like, where'd you get that from? Where'd you learn it from? It's not like that laziness. Nobody could be blamed for having laziness. They could be blamed for not watching themselves to make sure they don't allow their laziness to rise. That we can blame somebody. But you can't blame someone if they have a lazy feeling. If they have a desire for laziness. You can't blame someone for that. The same way you can't blame the bread for rising because you left it alone for 20 minutes. You could blame yourself for not watching it to make sure it doesn't reach that. Ushmartem et hamatzot is the right source. Because it's telling you it's unavoidable. Laziness is unavoidable. If you don't put in the effort to make sure that you're not that person, it's going to be you. In one form or another. So what's the solution? If you tell me that nature, my nature, is that I'm heavy and that I'm lazy. And that's what I want. I'd rather sit than stand up. I'd rather not work than work. Yes, I work because I have to, but I'd rather not. My desire is to do less, not more. So we're learning that's just who we are. Can't be blamed for that. So what then is the solution? The solution is called zerizut. Zerizut means to be zealous, to be active. But that's easier said than done. We just said our nature is to be heavy. Now you're telling me be zealous. So what does that mean? How do I do that? How do I go above my nature and be zealous? Where do I find the zealous part of me? If I am a piece of dirt and I'm heavy, where do you find in the dirt something that makes it not dirt? If that's who I am, so where am I getting zealousness from? Where do you want me to get it from? Where do I find it? You just describe me as this heavy, lazy person. Where am I supposed to find that zrizut that I need to push myself to do things which I don't really want to do? So the answer is that inside of us, we have a partnership. We have a body. Body, lazy. We have a soul. A soul is the opposite of lazy. The neshama of a person is zariz. That means when we're zariz, we are using our neshama. And when we're lazy, we are identifying with our body. So the more you identify with your body, the lazier you become. And the more you think about rest and relaxation. And the more you identify with your soul and you get your energy from your soul, the more energy you get. So energy comes from the neshama. And laziness comes from the body. Now you might tell me, but I know a lot of people who don't identify with their neshama and they're not lazy. You might ask me that. So you need to wait till the end of the class before I can answer that question. So I know you're thinking about that. Because I made it sound very simple now. Laziness, body, a person who thinks about body, thinks about eating, drinking, sleeping, money, traveling, body. Body is lazy. Neshama, I identify, I have dreams of being a giver, of wisdom, of midot, of all the beautiful things spiritually. Zealous, zerizut. I made it sound very simple. You're going to go out into the world and see people who have no identification with their neshama, and they're very hardworking. They get up very early in the morning. And they're not lazy. So you're probably thinking that what I'm saying is not true. So you're going to have to wait till the end of the class if you have patience. But I'm going to go back to my rule. If you identify yourself as a neshama, if that's what it says on your ID, who are you? Oh, I'm my neshama, who has a body on top. So then you have a connection to zrizut. Your life can be zariz. If you identify on your ID, I'm a body that may have a neshama, so then you're lazy. Now, by the way, this explains something very beautiful. If you open up the Mesilat Yesharim, he brings the words as follows. Vetir'eh. He says, and look, Shehamal Achim that angels nishtabehu, they were praised b'mida hatova hazot. When he's talking about zerizut, he says, look, even the angels were praised with such a beautiful midah of zerizut. And he brings the pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Barechu Adonai Malachav. You angels of God, bless your creator. Gibore Koach, you are so powerful. Ose Devaro means you're the ones who do the will of Hashem. Lishmoa Bekol Devaro. And you listen to the sound of his words. Mesilat Yesharim says, you see, they're not lazy. First of all, how does he know they're not lazy? Where does it say in this pasuk that the angels aren't lazy? Maybe they're lazy. How do we see that? Answer is because it says, first, Ose Devaro, they're already rushing to do before they even hear it. They're like the perfect Naaseh V'Nishma. In fact, the Gemara Masechet Shabbat, when Am Yisrael says Naaseh V'Nishma, Hashem says to Am Yisrael, who told you about this secret that only the angels know? And the Gemara brings this pasuk, that the angels are Gibore Koach, they're powerful, Ose Devaro, they're already doing Lishmoa Bekol Devaro. And now they want to know what to do. In other words, they're ready, up early, they're ready to go. And the Mesilat Yesharim brings another pasuk from Yehezkel. Ve'ahayot, these are the angels, Ratzo Vashov, they run and come back. Kemar'e HaBazak, like the flash of lightning. How fast the flash of lightning? That's how angels operate. So quick. Says the Mesilat Yesharim, don't you see that angels have this beautiful midah of zerizut? So there's a question on the Mesilat Yesharim. We never saw someone compare us to angels. Imagine someone brings you a proof from an angel because they could fly. Oh, angels could fly. So, you know, Eliyahu Navi could be in 100 Brit Milahs in 1 hour. So, don't you see? What does that have to do with me? I'm not an angel. What does the Mesilat Yesharim want? He never, by the way, he never says the Mesilat Yesharim, look at the angels, they don't get angry. Never says that. He never says, look at the angels, they're not selfish. He doesn't talk about the angels. We don't talk about angels. Hazaka Baruch, angels don't have free choice. Hashem made them like that. That can't be. Tell me there's a Moshe Rabbeinu I could learn from him. Tell me about my grandpa I could learn from him. I could learn from someone who's like me, who has challenges like me. Since when do we bring Hizuk to humans from angels? It's like saying, well, God does it, so why don't you do it? That's not fair. That's not a limud. We never see such a thing. Only here. Mesilat Yesharim says, v'tir'eh, and look. Look means learn. Learn from the angels. Nishtabehu b'midah hatovah hazot. How they were praised for being zealous. You know what the answer to this question is? According to what we said, it's beautiful. Because what are the angels? How come the angels are zariz? You know why they're zariz? Because they have no body. Because the angels are only spiritual. So what the Mesilat Yesharim is trying to tell you is, you also are like an angel if you identify with your neshama. If you identify with your body, so you have laziness. But just like the angel, he's zariz. You know why he's zariz? Because he is only soul. There's no body that weighs him down. You also, if your ID says neshama, if that's who you are, if that's your aspirations in life, if your neshama is leading you, then automatically you'll be like the angel. There's no secret to the angel that you can't do. You also have what he has. Whatever makes him zealous, you also have it. It's coming from that neshama of you. So you could be like him. That's why the Gemara says in Masechet Brachot, En omdim lehitpalel, which means you're not supposed to stand up to pray. Lo mitoch atzlut. Means if you were just lazy, you just had an hour of laziness, whatever that means, don't pray. Don't pray now. He's not saying don't pray while you're lazy. That's a whole different problem. He's saying don't pray mitoch atzlut, which means you were just lazy. Your mother asked you to do something and you were too lazy to do it. Just sat around the couch. You're lazy. Now it's time to pray. Don't pray. Wait. You can't pray while you were just lazy. What an interesting halacha. Why not? I was lazy. Now I'm ready not to be lazy. What's the problem? Why can't I pray if I was just lazy? What does that have to do with my tefillah now? But according to what we're learning, it's so beautiful. Because when you're lazy, it means your body is winning big time. And tefillah is all about connecting your neshama to Hashem. So how could you go from lazy, which is hyper body, to go to hyper soul? It doesn't work. You can't go from body to soul so quickly. Because when you're lazy, it means you are afar. That's who you are. And that's how you're acting. It's not so easy to go from afar to neshama in one moment. You need a little time. Give it a few minutes. Lo mitoch atzlut. By the way, the Gemara also says, lo mitoch atzvut. Similar word. Atzvut means sadness. If you say it, don't pray it. Wait. According to the Kabbalah, atzlut and atzvut, both come from the afar. Both of those parts of us, the lazy part of us and the sad part of us, neshama has no sadness. The neshama is not a place where you have atzvut. Atzvut comes from the afar in us. The more we identify with guf, with body, the more likely there will be atzvut. There will be sadness. Sadness doesn't come from the soul. It's good to know, by the way, in general in life, that when a person is sad, it's not coming from a very good place. It's coming from a body, not from a soul. You can't pray if you are just sad. But I'm ready not to be sad, but it's going to take a little time. Wait. This also explains the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara says, She'en Shechina. We all want the Shechina in our lives. There's different levels of Shechina. There's prophecy Shechina. There's Shechina that's giving us Siyata Deshmeya. Even for us, Hashem is close to us. Ish ve'isha zachu. A woman and men are zoche. Shechina b'nehem. To have Shechina in our home is a beautiful gift. Says the Gemara, En Shechina Shora, they are certain places that the Shechina is allergic to. Not coming. Can't come. Where? Lo mitoch atzvut velo mitoch atzlut. If you're sad, no Shechina. If you're lazy, no Shechina. And it lists a few other things. Why? But according to what we're learning, it's very simple. Why? Because a Shekhinah can only connect to something like it. A Shekhinah is not a body. A Shekhinah is something spiritual. If you're spiritual, Shekhinah can be connected to you. If you're not, it can't. So if you have atzlut, if you're lazy, you're sad, then the neshama is not your identity right now. So Shekhinah can't connect to you. Who doesn't need the Shekhinah in their life? Who doesn't need Hashem to hold their hand in whatever they do? Who can fail with the Shekhinah in their midst? How do you get the Shekhinah?
Well, you can't be lazy. That's number one.
Shlomo HaMelech warns us about something I mentioned earlier. The pasuk says in Mishle, "Hacham atzel be'enav." He says the lazy person, in his eyes, he is a wise person. How wise? Like, how smart is the lazy person in his eyes? Does he think he's a little smart, a lot smart? He says, "Mishiv'a mishivetam," from the seven gedolei hador, seven great people who always answering and helping people to understand. Imagine you have seven great people in the generation that whoever has a question, they go ask them. What's the reason for this? What can I do here? Could you explain to me what's going on in my life here? Advise me there. The seven greatest people, but the lazy person somehow can actually feel like he has more chokhmah than them. That's why Mishlei Yisraelim says, "Im tish'al et pi ha'atzel," he's warning us that the atzlut of a person may not appear on his radar. Because if you ask the lazy person, he says, "Yavo lecha," he will respond to you. "Bema'amarim rabim," he will quote you what rabbi spoke about, what he read, what he heard. "Mima'amare hachamim," he will quote you from the wise people. "Hamikraot," he will quote you psukim. "Vehata'anot min hasechel," and he'll respond with beautiful claims that come from the mind. "Asher kulam yorulo," all of them are pointing. "Lefi dato ameshubeshet," according to his sick mind, "lehakel alav," to be lenient on himself, that he doesn't need to do this. He'll explain to you in 100 ways why he shouldn't do this. It's wrong to do it. You think I'm lazy? You think that's why I don't do it? And he gives you reasons after reasons. And he believes it too, by the way. He's not trying to fool only you, he's fooling himself too. Since atzlut, since laziness is such a part of our being, there's a certain amount of shohad, bribes. When you're bribed, when you love someone, it's hard to see anything wrong with them. That's why a person who gets money cannot judge from that person who gave him money. They're too connected. Well, there's no bigger connection than the body. And if laziness comes from our body, we're very much bribed to be lazy. We love to be lazy. And when you love to be lazy, you'll come up with so many arguments as to why you're not wrong. Just like you would come up with arguments why the guy's not guilty. Because since you benefited from him, you can't see straight. Laziness is a shohad. It's not just a midah that you're heavy, but it blinds you to not even see that you're lazy and give you all different reasons to explain what in reality is laziness. I'll give you a few examples so I don't sound like I'm talking in shamayim. A person sometimes comes to a seuda and he wants to eat. He's supposed to eat bread. He says, "Nah, not so hungry." That's what he says. "Just not so hungry, my stomach. Not so hungry." In reality, they don't want to wash. They don't want to berkat hamazon. So they become not hungry. That's an example of a lazy person. You didn't need. Sometimes a person is full and they can't eat. I'm not talking about that. But plenty of situations where you say, I'm not hungry, and it's not true. You're just lazy. It happens with little children. How many times you run around with children, they haven't eaten in 24 hours? Not hungry, because they don't want to sit. They don't want to sit. They want to run around. They're excited to run back and forth. They're doing laps around your house. They're energetic. They have a soul to them. Before they become teenagers and they get lazy. When they're little, they're still, they're like the angels. You say, come sit down and eat. No, I'm not hungry. That's not what it is. They just don't want to sit. Already from a little child, he's already explaining to you why he's not lazy. He doesn't say, I'm lazy. I'm not hungry. How many times does a person give an excuse? Oh, I can't do this now. I'm going to learn. It could be he's going to learn. But that's not really why he's not doing it. He doesn't want to do it. He could have learned a little earlier and taken care of it. Oh, I can't come home now. I have an important meeting. Sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not. First of all, the meeting may not be so important. And second of all, you could reschedule the meeting. It's with your secretary. Meet her tomorrow. Now, the person will come home and his wife will say, you know, you're really lazy. I asked you to do something, you didn't do it. Lazy? Me? I've been at work all day. I told you I had a meeting. Do you understand? I'm making you money. I'm not lazy. What are you saying? The guy will be like, what are you talking about? What lazy? But that's lazy. Not hungry, busy, lazy, you're lazy. How many times has a person been approached to get involved in something? Oh, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at collecting money. Really, did you ever do it? No, but I'm not good at it. How do you know you're not good at it? You never did it. I just know myself. Right? Has that happened to you? You want to get involved in this? No, I'm not so good at talking to people. You don't close your mouth for 4 hours straight. You know how many times we give excuses like that? It's not me. I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. I'm not comfortable doing that. The answer is, just say it. I am lazy. But that doesn't sound so nice. Sounds much nicer when you say, it's just not who I am. Sounds like much like European, you know. It's not just not who I am. I'm somebody else. That's called laziness. Be careful with all the different reasons that don't really make sense and don't matter. Even if you see people that walk very slowly, and you say, you know, you walk very slow. Like, why don't you like move it a little bit? He said, are you kidding? Supposed to be calm. Supposed to not to rush. Have to have metinut. Everything has a shita, you understand? The guy's walking fast. Oh, he's rushing. You rush in life. When you rush, you make mistakes. That's why I have to walk slow. I don't rush into anything. It becomes a whole shita. I could write a book about it. When it comes to learning Torah, it's the same story. This is not for me. Gemara is not for me. Have you tried it? Yeah, I once went to a class. You once went to a class, so you thought one time you're going to be able to become a scholar of Shas? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to a class and I didn't connect to it. Well, what are you saying? You're lazy. You're a lazy person. You don't want to work. Imagine going to medical school for one day and saying, ah, this medical thing is not for me. I'm not a doctor yet. I went one day, full day, I'm not a doctor. I'm out. What is wrong with you? You expect to be a doctor in one day? You went to a Gemara class for the first time in your life, you sat for an hour and you decided it's not for you? That's not what you're saying. You're saying I'm lazy. It means I don't want to work. I don't want to put effort. That's what you say. That's what you mean. But it comes out so much nicer when you say it's not for you, as if you're some other brand. So many times you say, no, I don't do that. I don't go to classes. I listen to them only sometimes. Oh, I don't read. Why don't you read? I just don't. Why not? It's just not me. Why not? I don't do that. Why not? Like this, it's just one silly answer after the other. It's just more and more of the same answer. I'm lazy. What's wrong with you? You have eyes, you could see. You could follow along sentences. What's the problem? You don't speak English? I'm not saying every scenario like that is laziness, but a lot of them are. Nobody that's lazy says, I'm lazy. They'll say, I'm tired. Okay, but it's been 14 hours in bed. I'm very tired. Oh, I went out late last night. There was a wedding. Okay, so you slept at 11:30. Big deal. What happened? It's constant. It's almost every word came out when you talk with people about doing something. It's all a version of laziness. It's an amazing thing if you start paying attention to conversations, especially when you talk with kids, because they're not as careful with their mouth. It's all lazy. In the learning itself, you know, there's different kinds of learning. A person has to learn in depth. A person has to learn also a lot of information. There's bikiut, that's learning a lot of information. There's ayun, learning in depth. A person who loves to learn in depth says, no, I don't like bikiut. I don't like it. The guy who likes to learn fast says, no, I don't like ayun. It's not my thing. It's not my area. A lot of that could be laziness. Because for you, it's harder to learn in depth, so you don't do it. Or for you, it's harder to learn quickly, so you don't do it. There's no end. Kim'at, we could say that laziness enters almost every decision in our lives. We could say that almost with full confidence, that every decision in our life, somewhere, we can identify laziness as being somewhere there, that we have to deal with it. Sometimes we win, sometimes we win, it's there. There's always a reason not to do. And even if we do, there's a reason not to do it so great, or not to do it so much. It's always there. Remember, laziness can never escape you. So it's always there. Always. You got to beware in everything that you do in your life. Here's a great story. One of the greatest books in the history of our people. The Chovot HaLevavot. He writes in his introduction as to why he wrote the book. And he goes into length as to the reason why he felt there had to be a book that doesn't discuss halakha, but discusses the mind, what the person's mindset should be, what his belief should be. That's why he called it Chovot, the obligations, HaLevavot, of the heart, of the mind. And he explained so beautifully why his book was necessary, and there was none like it. And there is still today none like it. A book written 1,000 years ago, and you feel like he's talking to you, like he's living with you. So clear. But then he gets to the end of the introduction And then he says, I decided that I'm not going to write the book. He says, I figured a guy like me, I don't know the language so well. He wrote it in Arabic. I'm not so well versed in the language. Am I the greatest scholar in the generation that I should write a book like this? Who says I'll be able to handle it? Maybe it's just my desire for honor and just to write books so people say I have a book. He said, I decided I'm not writing the book. And then he says, after thinking about it again, I said to myself, he says, Shafti vehashadati et nafshi. Imagine, he says, I'm not writing this book. Somebody else could do it better than me. I'm not the gadol of this generation. This is a very big undertaking. Who says I could even do it good? All good things. And then he says, I suspected my soul. Al bahara bimnuha. He says, I suspected that last argument to put away my project was because I'm choosing menuha, rest, velishkon bim'on ha'atzla, and I should live in a place of laziness, behashketu bepitha, where it's safe, where it's calm. Unbelievable. He had all the right reasons not to write the book. And then he said, well, wait, one second. Maybe this is my laziness talking, my desire for rest talking. Maybe that's why I'm not doing this. And that's what he said. I decided that this might be the reason and I'm doing it. What an unbelievable thing. One of the greatest books that were ever written was almost not written because of laziness. Not laziness that he thought, I'm going to be lazy, but laziness that came from such good place and such a good reason. You know, you're not the guy. You're not the gadol. Who says you could do it? You're not so good in the language. Such good reasons he brought as to why he shouldn't write it. But then he was able to see through all that, that behind all of that, there was a lazy person that just wanted to relax and not get involved in something that's going to be tedious. It's hard to write a book. It's a lot of responsibility to write a book. Who wants to work hard? He suspected himself. Thank God he did. We have his book that has changed the lives of millions and millions of people, this book. But it was almost not there. Could you imagine how many things in our lives that we could have changed, but we didn't because of laziness, and we didn't even know about it. That's why great people very often make sure that they don't fall in that pit of laziness without realizing. I saw one rabbi writes that sometimes in his life there are decisions and he's unsure if he should go or not go. Like, should he go to this wedding or not go? Not sure. He says what he would do in those kind of decisions is he would go to the front door and then make the decision. Because it could be that in his decision, it's about laziness. So he would make sure to get there first and then decide if it's appropriate for him to be there or not. Don't just say, nah, it's not for me. There was a great rabbi that when people would come to ask for a haskama for their book or their situation, he wanted to verify to make sure that they should be worthy of him writing about them. If he knows the person, of course he would write it. But he writes, when he doesn't know the person, before he checks into it, he would write it first. And then he would look into it. He's afraid if he looks into before he writes it, then weighing in on the decision is his laziness not to write it. Because he'd rather not write it. That's what great people do to ensure that laziness isn't part of their decision making. So one great rabbi, when he came to the chinuch of his children, so for example, if a child would go out in the cold without a jacket, so naturally a father or mother would say, put on your jacket. No, I'm not cold. I'm not cold. I didn't even go outside yet. What he means to say is I'm lazy and I don't want to go get my jacket. That's what he means. So his father, understanding that, would tell his children, you know what? Take your jacket. If you're still cold, then don't put it on. Train yourself not to be lazy. Don't allow laziness to be your decision maker. Eshet Hayil Miyimtza. This is the great song of Shlomo HaMelech about the great woman. The great woman, as Shlomo HaMelech says, is Vatakom Be'od Laila. A great woman is someone who wakes up early and she takes care of her children and her family. Basically, a woman who doesn't give in to laziness. Eshet Chayil is not only a woman of valor, but Hazal tells us it's a mashal for our soul. That we have also a marriage in life. It's the marriage of the body and the soul. And an Eshet Chayil is a soul that drives the person's decision and gives them the ability to work hard, to wake up early and sleep late, and do everything in between. It's not so easy for a person to battle laziness. It could come from two places. You can battle laziness from your inspiration, from your clarity, when you're clear about something, so you know you have to do it. Same way, God forbid, if a person's child is hurt, they have clarity from within that they need to act quickly and do whatever it takes. That's zirizut, that comes from clarity of the situation. But sometimes a person doesn't have clarity, even though they know they have to do it, but it's foggy. So then they need a push. They have to push their body. It's like a car. You know, some cars, you turn them on from the inside, and they ride. And sometimes they're stuck, and they don't turn on. So you put them on neutral, and you get three people, and you push the car, and it starts to go. Sometimes in life, a person is able to turn on his zealousness from inside. But sometimes you just got to push yourself. Even though you don't want to, you have to push yourself. Because as you push yourself, you'll start to even want to do more. You can't just say, I don't feel it. Because it's normal not to feel things that you will have to put effort to do. But you got to push. Like we learned, that the external actions very much affect our feelings and our strength, and it affects our zealousness. You know, there's even laziness to think. People don't like to think. Think about what? About my family, about my wife, about my husband, about my children. Think about what they need. Think about what I can do. It takes also zealousness to think about things ahead. I'd rather not think. I'd rather just sit and be entertained. I don't want to think. We see in Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes about Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayetze el Ehav, when he went out to his brethren, Vayar besivlotam. Remember, he grew up in the palace. So he went out to his brothers and he saw their pain and he saw what they were doing and how they were being treated. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Pasuk in Mishle, Hazita, did you see Ish Mahir Bimlachto? Did you see a man who was zealous in his work? The Pasuk ends, Lifnei Melachim Yityatzav. He will stand in front of kings, such a person who's zealous in what they do. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you know who that is? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Where was he zealous? Because the Pasuk says, Vayetze Elehav. When he grew up, he went out to his brothers and he saw their pain. Where do you see zealousness in that? If I tell you someone went out and saw his brother's pain, where do you see he was zealous? Doesn't say he rushed out. Doesn't say he woke up early in the morning. Where did Rabbeinu Yonah see that Moshe Rabbeinu was zealous in this act? The answer is that when you're in a palace and everything is comfortable and you take the time to think about something you don't have to think about, that's called zealous. You know, in life there are so many things that are within our reach. The people that we love, we could do so much more for them if we just thought, if we were just willing to think a little more about how we can make the next meeting better, the next evening better, the next Shabbat better, how we can make our children's life a little happier, how we can make them a little stronger. Sometimes it just takes a few minutes of what can I do now or tomorrow or next week. But it takes a person who's zealous. Laziness doesn't let you think. Laziness would rather let you live your life without thinking. So if a man behind the palace doors is thinking about going out to his brothers, that means he's thinking. And if he's thinking, that means he's not lazy. We must be careful not to fall into the trap of running through life with laziness. I will end off with a very important subject. We have in the Torah a mitzvah called Shemitah. Torah says that every seventh year, farmers in Eretz Yisrael must take a sabbatical. No work. An entire year of no work. Doesn't seem to be a great recipe for Shalom Bayit. And if laziness is such a terrible, terrible characteristic that we're all struggling with, it would seem to be a very bad idea to have a farmer be out of work for an entire year. And if we wanted to strengthen his bitachon in Hashem, you could have told him to work and give all his money and produce to poor people. You didn't have to tell him to sit home. Why isn't the Torah worried about making this already lazy person more lazy? Is that the formula of success that Hashem wants to give us? To train us to become lazier than we need to be? Imagine an entire year of doing nothing. You're a farmer, that's your business, that's what you do, that's what you know. Interestingly enough, remember that pasuk I mentioned earlier about the angels being gibore koach? Well, the Midrash says, gibore koach, elu shomre shvi'it. These are the ones that are keeping the laws of Shevi'it. Wait, Gibore Koach were the angels that were zealous. So the same Pasuk The Midrash says is for those who are not working on Shavuot. Not working is not what the Malachim were doing in that Pasuk. Is there a connection here? We're asking the opposite question. We're saying that Shavuot makes you more lazy. But the Midrash sounds like Shavuot makes you less lazy. How does that make sense? You're not working for a year. I promised you in the beginning of the class that I would address your question about people that you may find that work very hard, wake up very early, travel for months, do a lot of work, and you would tell me, but they don't really identify with neshama. They have nothing to do with neshama. So where do they find their energy? So you need to know something about laziness that you may not have thought about before. There are people who work very hard. And if you ask them, and what's your goal? My goal? I mean, why I work hard? So I could rest. Like, in order to rest 2 days, maybe three, I have to work five, four. In order to be able to rest in my future, I have to work hard now. Most people that work hard, very hard, are also lazy. You know why they're lazy? Because their goal is to rest. In fact, it may be even worse than resting. Because you're actively involved in laziness. Did you understand that? I'm going to say it again. When a person just doesn't do anything, so they're lazy. But they're lazy and they're not active. But if you're working out laziness, because you're working so hard so you could rest, it actually makes you even more lazy. Because your goal is to do nothing. But it's hard to do nothing because you can't afford it. So you have to work very hard to be able to one day do nothing. So you spend days and weeks and years of your life working very hard so that you could do nothing. Like, when do I get to do nothing? Well, when you get home, you'll do nothing for a couple of hours. You can't do nothing for a couple of hours unless you work hard. So you work hard to do nothing. And then you take off a few days, and then you go on vacation sometimes. Also, you do nothing there. But you can't go on vacation if you don't work hard. And maybe one day you'll retire also, and you'll do a lot of nothing. It takes a lot of years to work hard to do nothing for 30 years. Most of the people that we know have such goals that really, at the end of the day, their goal with all their hard work is to do nothing. There's a cute story about a businessman from New York. Very, very successful person. On a small island in Mexico. And he sees there's a Mexican fisherman over there with a little boat. And he sees he came back from the water and he says, he looks inside and he sees the most amazing tuna I ever saw in his life. He says, Señor, can I ask you? Where'd you get that tuna from? How long it took you to get a tuna like that? He says, oh, it's very easy. I go out a few minutes, I get a tuna like that. He says, more of that tuna like that? He says, yeah, plenty of tuna out there. And they're all like this? He says, yeah, even better than this. He says, come, let me sit with you. He says, I'm a very big businessman. I went to, you know, university. I have a master's in economics. Let me explain something to you. He says, so why'd you come back after you caught a couple of tuna? Like, why don't you stay and get more? He says, could you tell me what your schedule is? He says, yeah. He says, I wake up in the morning, not so early. He says, I have breakfast. I go out for a few minutes. Hour, whatever it is, I catch some tuna, I come back home. He He says, my wife, she makes the tuna. I take a little siesta. I go for a walk at night. I can relax. I go listen to some music, maybe drink a little bit. He says, okay. He says, you're doing it all wrong. He says, what do you mean? He says, you got it all wrong. He says, you know what you could do with this tuna? You have any idea what this tuna could do for you? He says, what? What could it do for me? He says, go out there and spend 7, 8, 9 hours. Get as much tuna as you can on this small boat. He says, yeah, then what's going to happen? He says, then you're going to buy more boats. And then you'll fill them all up with tuna. He says, and then what's going to happen? He says, you're going to sell all your tuna. You're going to start exporting it to the United States. They're going to love your tuna. They're going to want more. He says, and then what? He says, you're going to buy ships. And you're going to buy all kinds of equipment to start shipping and shipping. Then you're going to have your own brand. And you'll have to move to LA to market your brand of tuna. It's going to be, forget about it. He says, yeah. He says, and then what? He says, and then you're going to move to New York and you're going to go public. Your company is going to be so big. You're going to make so much money. You're going to go public. He says, and how much money is that going to be? He says, forget about it. Hundreds of millions of dollars. He says, and then what? He says, then? He says, you can go to Mexico, to a small island. You can wake up a little later. You can spend time with your wife. It's a cute story. That's called working your whole life so you could relax. And probably you could relax now already, if that's your goal. When you work to relax, you're involved in active laziness. It's not only people working for money, it's even mothers at home. If you're working so that you could relax at night, that's called involved in laziness. If you're working so you could relax in 20 years, it's also involved in laziness. When is it not involved in laziness? When you have a higher goal. You don't just work so you could rest. You work because you have a mission. You have something to accomplish so that you'll have more free time so you can do something with your free time. If you can't answer the question of what you're going to do with your free time, then you're working to be lazy. You have to answer that question. When you have more free time, so what are you doing with it? What's your goal? Are you going to learn more? Are you going to do more? Are you going to help more? What are you doing? If you can't answer what you would do with your more free time, then it's just basically relaxation time. A person must be able to say, when I get home from work and I have 2 hours, 3 hours, I'm doing something. You come to this room at night and this entire building, you'll see thousands of people. At least in the high hundreds that are spending an hour, 2 hours with their free time. They worked all day, but they have 2 hours and they go learn. They're doing something. If you're not learning, so go help somebody. Get involved with something. Go read something. Don't just sit around and do nothing. You must, and I must, be able to answer. So what am I doing with free time when I have it? I don't have a lot of it, but when I have it, what is it for? If we can't answer that question, then we're involved in laziness the entire day. That's not a life that anybody wants to live. We must be able to answer the question of why do I need free time? What am I doing with it? It's so important because it turns everybody's life around. It makes you not work to rest. It makes you work to work. I work hard in my business because I need time to work for something greater than my business. I can't learn at night if I don't work during the day. Im en kemach en Torah. If there's no money, how am I learning? How am I helping people if I don't work? How can I do more in my life if I don't have the physical needs taken care of? You have to work so you could work harder for something more important. If you work and you don't know what the other work is, then it's working for laziness. It's working for rest. That's a type of laziness, perhaps a greater type. That's why the Torah says that every 6 years, the seventh year, stop working. Stop working so you can work for something that's greater. Don't let your life just keep going. Because if your life is just working so you could rest, so you're lazy. So then every little bit, stop and do something, not work, something greater than work. And that's why, you know who are the Shomrei Shevi'it? The Gibore Koach. They're the Zariz. They're not working. No, they are working. They're working in something that's called real work. Something higher than making money and taking care of their physical needs. They're doing something greater. I once saw a woman 90 years old, believe it or not, 90 years old. She got inspired and she started learning. She started learning how to read. She had people come in to teach her. She learned the alphabet. She learned how to read Tehillim. Then she studied the language. 94 years old and she's learning. It's an unbelievable thing. There's no age. It's not too early or too late to do this. Our free time has to have a higher purpose. Get involved. Do something for your community. Do something for your family. Do something for yourself. But don't catch yourself working to rest. It's not a good formula. That's why the Torah says, Vayhi Ereb, Vayhi Boker, Vayhi Ereb, and it was night, Vayhi Boker, and it was day, Yom Echad. First the night, and then the day. That seems to be a little odd. I mean, that's how we celebrate Shabbat. Friday night, Shabbat. Holiday, Friday, the night, the next day. We start our day at night. That is so weird. We do it because Hashem started that way. Vayhi erev, vayhi boker. But why would He start that way? The way we look at the relationship of day and night is, I work in the day and I rest at night. Why would I have the night before the day? That doesn't make sense, at least to us. But yet the Creator says it does. You know how powerful this message is? You know the difference between night that follows the day or day that follows the night? You see, after this class you may say, so I can't rest? So I can't relax? So I can't go on a vacation? Can't just sit in the couch for a couple of hours? Like, I can't. What are you saying? Gotta stop all, gotta work all day? No, of course not. Of course there's time to rest. But it has to be a rest that's preparing for work. It's not a work that prepares to rest. Hashem says, Vayi Erev, your rest is that you should have a boker. You're resting to work. You don't work to rest. You don't say boker and then erev. That you messed up. So every Friday night, every night when we start our day, it's a reminder. The day starts now. I need to rest for tomorrow. I'm not resting because of today. What a difference in life. There are people who are working, but they're called lazy. That's what it says about Esav. Esav, it says, Vayhi Esav ish yodei atzayid, ish sadeh. Esav was a man who was a hunter. He was a man of the field. Active. Working. Ve'yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. Yaakov was sitting and learning. Sounds like Yaakov does nothing. And Esav is all over the place. Open up to the Targum. The Targum says, most amazing words. Yodei atzayid nahshirchan. Nahshirchan means he was lazy. He was a batlan. He did nothing in his life. What do you mean? He's the guy that's running. He's the guy that's doing. He didn't do anything. His whole life is hunting and going and making and doing. What's he doing? We have to be careful not to confuse hard work that we're not lazy. We have to remember always what we're working hard for. There's time to relax, yes, but the relaxation has to be as preparation for something greater. This is called gevura. A gibor is a person who has laziness traveling with him his entire life. He's aware of that, and he has the power to be a zealous person despite his afar, his dirt that's weighing him down, and they live a life full of accomplishments, a life of a legacy that came from this energy that defeats the laziness that tries to bring them down. Ha-gibor. Hashem is a gibor. And for us to become something in life, we have to be a gibor. Today is an example of gevura that all of us can use a little more hizuk to achieve. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.